Good morning all. Most of this week, the Acts of the Apostles in Mass every day has been taken up with what really was the first major crisis in the early church. And as you heard from the reading that Ruth did for us this morning, the conservative Jewish converts to Christianity did not like what they were hearing about the more liberal approach of Paul and Barnabas further north, up in the north, to the admittance of pagans into the church. And these people insisted that pagans must first be circumcised and then follow all the Jewish customs. But Paul was having nothing of that, and a big row ensued up there in the north. So it was eventually, they had to go back to Jerusalem. It was eventually sorted out at the Council of Jerusalem, in which the apostles and the elders, through the Holy Spirit, decided not to saddle new converts with burdens beyond the absolute essentials. Now, there have been another 20 councils since then, the last one being the Second Vatican Council in the early 1960s. And councils are called to adapt the changing signs of the times to the gospel, which of course never changes. And so Vatican II, at that particular time, gave free rein to the Holy Spirit to blow a fresh wind into what was the church of the space age and the white heat of technology. And after centuries of closely guarded clerical control, the Holy Spirit was unleashed on the laity, encouraging them to use their God-given gifts for the building up of the body of Christ, in which every member has a vital part to play for the common good. Unfortunately, as you know, over the years, conservative elements in the church clawed back that control, and in some ways, you could say, stifled the work of the Holy Spirit. But now we have Pope Francis, and he's doing his best to set him free again, letting the Spirit loose in the world again, decentralizing government from Rome and promoting synodality, which means simply walking together as equals, the way the church was always meant to be. And of course, Pope Francis needs our help to do that. Last Sunday, I gave an outline of a conference that 11 of us went to and promised to share some of the things we learned about discipleship. One of which was that a disciple can be recognized by seven indicators: habitual worship, growth, service, giving, sharing their faith, living virtuously, and building community. And we discovered that, like most parishes, the two we are worse at are growth and sharing our faith. So in a sense, we're not really fulfilling Jesus' command to go out and make disciples, which is the whole point of being a Christian. It may never have occurred to us over the years to make new disciples, but think about it, you know, if no one had made us disciples, we wouldn't be Christian either. Of course, before we can pass on the faith, we need to reflect on our own discipleship, which you do by saying, what does Jesus actually mean to me? And what is he doing in my life? As Stephen did so graphically in his talk on being a heroin addict on Wednesday night there. Now your story, my story, may not be quite so dramatic, but it will certainly contain something of, that's where I was, but here is where I am now. We all have a story to tell, even if it's only how God has used us in some way. Father Frankie, who was at the conference, told us a lovely story. I'd not heard this one before, about 9/11, when so many people were trapped in the subway underground because all the smoke and the dust, you know, from the buildings come down and gone everywhere, including down into the subways. And there was panic there. Nobody knew the way out, how to get there. But there was a blind beggar there, and he was always there. And of course, light and dark meant nothing to him. So he was able to lead all these people out to safety. He led them, if you like, from darkness into light. So God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Making disciples is not so much really about teaching the faith, but giving people an experience of it. Our faith is all about following a person, Jesus in fact, you know, falling in love with him, you could say, like Mary Magdalene. In the tablet, a thing I contribute to, there's been some discussion in the letters page recently about what Jesus meant when he said to Mary Magdalene after the resurrection, "Noli me tangere, don't touch me." It was as though, you know, now he was pure and he needed to ascend to his Father. But the correspondence in the tablet was saying, What he was really saying was that Mary didn't kind of say, oh, Jesus, how lovely to see you. You know, you've risen from the dead. That she flung herself on him, wrapped herself around him, arms and legs and everything. She was so joyed. And what he was really saying was, get off me. You know, that kind of thing. Isn't that a lovely image of, you know, somebody that really loves Christ in that way? So as I say, the old model of discipleship was, first of all, behave. In other words, stop sinning. Believe in God. And then you can belong. The new model is the complete opposite. First belong, then believe and behave. Our keynote speaker shared how he fell in love with his wife. It's quite funny really. He said he didn't read a book about her, first of all, or go on a course, or have a small group discussion about what she was like before he decided to ask her out. And so nor do we have to know everything about Jesus before we become his disciple. We follow him, first of all. And then all the other stuff, church, sacraments, etc., etc., comes later. So I would say, you know, why not simply invite someone to come to Mass with you and let the Holy Spirit do the rest in their life? And this is the approach that we're going to use in future with our young people, not putting them on sacramental courses just because they've reached a certain age, but helping them and encouraging them to create a social group from which, please God, a sense of belonging may lead them to a desire to become the type of disciple as described in those seven indicators. I think in conclusion, it's fairly fair to say that there's definitely something stirring in our parish. Lots of other ideas are coming thick and fast, some are already being put into practice. But before we get too excited, and before we do anything else, we need to explore discipleship a bit further in order to discern where we go from here, where the Holy Spirit's calling us. And so with that in mind, after Pentecost, we're going to start a Saturday morning group to which all of you are invited. The details of that will be on next week's bulletin. But in the meantime, go away with, think about, try asking, what does Jesus mean to me in my life? What is he doing in my life? There's no doubt about it, the Holy Spirit's up to something, and he needs all of us to bring it about.